Welcome to a post June 1st world. What does this date mean for the Tennessee Titans? Potential roster additions, trades, cuts, all of it. We're going to break down why June 1st matters. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor at TitanSize.com, the publisher for NFL Draft on SI, and my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, happy June. We are officially in a post-June 1st world as of 4 p.m. Eastern time today. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. As you said, post-June in the world, certainly in the NFL as well, and expected to kind of kickstart a bunch of activity around the league. You know, we've heard A.J. Brown to the New England Patriots for a number of months might be something. Could be other superstar players on the move as well, trades, you know, cuts, things of that nature. So how does this impact the Titans? Who are some names that are still out there that might make sense from the Titans at, you know, potential positions of need? We're going to cover a lot of those names and positions today.
Yes, sir. So firstly, what does June 1st mean actually in terms of NFL contracts, and how does it affect the Titans specifically, what players they might look to add? We're going to break all of it down, but from a broad stroke standpoint, June 1st is a date where stuff can start to get pushed to next year. Basically, if you release a player, you can release them before June 1st, but you can designate it as a post-June 1st cut. That splits the remaining guarantees of the contract across multiple seasons, as opposed to taking on a massive dead cap hit this season. You can push half of it to the next season or break it up amongst the rest of the contract, depending on how many years are remaining. When you trade someone post-June 1st, the reason that the Eagles have been waiting to trade A.J. Brown, as you mentioned, is a similar thing. You can push that dead cap money to the following season and split it up so you don't have to take as massive of a dead cap charge. I did see, Justin, the Eagles would still take on a $27 million dead cap charge for next year, even though Wow. We are past June 1st. But that's way better than what they would take on if they trade him before June 1st. So the Titans specifically, the other factor post June 1st is that players signed after June 1st or after 4:01 p.m. Eastern on June 1st do not count into your compensatory pick formula. So players that sign on other teams, you know, there's a very complex and complicated and nuanced formula that calculates how many comp picks your team will get. It's based on outgoing contracts against incoming contracts. And if you lose a lot more contracts than you sign, then you might be eligible for one or more comp picks. The Titans spent more money in free agency than any team in the NFL this year. So I would imagine that they're not getting a comp pick. In fact, I'd be shocked if they got a comp. I can't see a world where they get a comp pick.
No way.
So I don't know how much it affects the Titans to sign a player post June 1st and not count against that formula. But there are guys in the NFL who the Titans might have interest in, who might be interested in more than just the Titans, waiting to see what their options are. Some potentially more cash-strapped teams or teams that could be eligible for comp picks waiting until this date. So there could be a number of veterans around the league who realize after June 1st, oh, I don't really actually have as many options as I thought, and the Titans are interested in me, so I'll just go sign for the Titans for a lower number because it's clear that the negotiating period is like, I don't have any leverage left, whatever. That's, I think, Justin, the way that this could impact the Tennessee Titans. It's not directly their comp pick formula, but indirectly, other players may settle, for lack of a better word, for a Titans team that is obviously still rebuilding.
Right. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. We don't want to mislead anyone. There's not a lot of Titan-specific benefits to them waiting for this date. Like you said, they're not going to be impacted by the comp pick formula. They're not impacted by, you know, dead money. And they already have a ton of salary cap space. Like as of right now, as of yesterday, as of today, they have space to make moves. But it's about how this is just going to kickstart so much activity around the league that the Titans might be impacted. Maybe they already wanted someone, like you said, that kind of said, well, we're going to feel it out on June 1st and we'll circle back with you. If you don't mind, I want to jump right to it. I think the number one position that we're probably watching, or that we've been watching for a while now, is right guard, right? Stop me if I sound like a broken record. Kevin Zeitler and Greg Van Rotten are still out there. You know, obviously Kevin Zeitler was this team's 2025 starter at right guard. Greg Van Rotten was the starter for Carmen Brasillo and Brian Daboll with the New York Giants last year. Of course, both of them coaching the Titans now. And there are a couple, I mean, too bad Brady Christensen. That's an interesting name. He wouldn't be available if he hadn't torn his Achilles during the season last year. That's a guy. Joel Bitonio is still out there. Like, there are quite a few intriguing Titans legend, Daniel Brunskill, James Daniels. Like, there's a bunch of recognizable names still on the market. I don't know that the Titans are going to bring in one of these guys. Like, the interesting thing is Kevin Zeitler and Greg Van Rotten, nothing has changed. Both those guys are going to sign somewhere, in my opinion. They're not retired. They've probably been waiting for post-June or maybe even closer to camp, given their age, to make a move, right? So you wonder if that kickstarts activity there. The interesting thing for the Titans, if you don't mind me continuing here just a little bit, is Robert Saleh has essentially admitted it, and a lot of coaches have, OTAs is a pajama party. That's what I think what Dan Campbell said. We're having a pajama party out here. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to assess the overall state of the right guard spot without the pads being on, right? Like, the collective bargaining agreement, the way the NFL does things nowadays really limits, you know, contact this time of year. Not just limits, prevents contact this time of year. So the Titans won't have a real feel for this right guard battle until training camp starts, until the pads come on. That might make them wait to make a move at that spot. Are they going to say, we want to see Jackson Slater in pads, we want to see Cordell Volson in pads, before we flat out say, never mind, you're not the guy for this position battle, we're just going to go sign someone right now? I think they want to give them a fair opportunity. You know, guys like Volson and Slater. And I think it's debatable how much you could assess, obviously, at OTA. So it will be interesting to see. I think they're going to probably wait, but if they do want to make a move, you know, now's a better time as ever.
Yeah, and there's other guys out there that we didn't mention just now. Justin Mekhi Becton played last year with the Chargers, has had trouble throughout his career staying healthy. Probably not a Titans target for that exact reason. James Daniels spent last year with Miami, has dealt with injuries and other physical decline in recent years, but he's still on the market. Ethan Pocich, center on the market. Alex Kappa, you know, has been a starter, spent a lot of time as teammates with Cordell Volson, actually. So there's other guys out there. If they do decide, like, eventually we need to bring in a veteran, I think all those, like, none of those guys would make me feel like, oh, they did it, they solved the right guard spot, the way Kevin Zeitler would just give me that sort of comfort security blanket. But there are other guys. And then, you know, you mentioned Robert Saleh talking about what you get out of OTAs, especially from an O-line evaluation standpoint. Robert Saleh, we mentioned this last week, completely declined to comment on a potential swing tackle battle, even wouldn't even name a candidate or a player competing for that spot, because he said, I'll get back to you midway through training camp on how that's going. Look, there are potential swing tackle level guys, or maybe even better, at least better at one point in their career, maybe not at this point in their career. Taylor Decker parted ways with the Lions, hasn't landed on a team yet. I mean, if the Titans signed Taylor Decker, I don't expect the Titans to sign Taylor Decker, no, but he's like a starting caliber player. Yeah, like, he would supplant Dan Moore, which doesn't make any sense because they're paying Dan Moore as much as you are. Jack Conklin has also, obviously, you know, Titans drafted him many years ago, dealt with a lot of injuries. I don't know if he's at that point in his career yet, but guys who might legitimately qualify as swing tackles are like Jonah Williams, Cam Robinson. Like, that's the kind of level player where it's like they've started games in their career. They haven't been full-time starters for their entire careers. Josh Niemann, who was most recently with the Panthers. Like, there are some of these guys out there, Cornelius Lucas, who some better than others, but could potentially come in and fill that swing tackle role at a level that gives you a lot more confidence than the current depth chart. The Austin Deculus and nothing else, pretty much. Like, I kind of actually, if I had to guess, at the most likely next free agent move the Titans make before the season starts that actually has a little bit of importance, they probably are going to sign a swing tackle. I mean, I can't imagine they go into the season with this tackle depth, and unless Brendan Crenshaw Dixon or the other UDFA from this year just, like, completely astonish you in terms of their ability to actually play in this league at their, you know, age and experience levels. I feel like the Titans kind of need a swing tackle. I don't know.
I agree. It's probably the worst depth spot on the entire roster. I would say probably, maybe even comfortably, I would say it's the worst depth spot on the roster right now. They liked Brendan Crenshaw Dixon last year. We know that because of how they went to such great lengths to protect him on their roster and make sure they didn't lose him. Emil Wagner is one of the UDFA tackles, Notre Dame. The other, they gave him big money and obviously a lot of experience, you know, played in the national championship at Notre Dame. The other one is Rasheed Miller, I believe it is, out of Louisville, who, you know, we don't know where guys are necessarily working at OTAs. There's like a media ban on revealing some of that. Miller actually played a lot of guard in college too, so I don't know where they view. I'd be curious, do they see him as a guard or do they see him as a tackle? But I'm with you. Like the Austin Deculus, just nightmares. Never forget White Gravy. I always say it, rapping about Justin Herbert, O-line committing treason. It was Austin Deculus who committed a lot of that treason for the Chargers last year. I want nothing to do with him, and I'm worried that he is the swing tackle. But I think a very good mature call on your point. If they make a veteran acquisition at all, it might be at swing tackle. Some good options listed there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk other additions at potential positions of need.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. Post-June 1st pod rolls on here today. Justin, we're talking about guys that the Titans might add now on the defensive side of the ball. I think we covered offense. I mean, look, we didn't talk about tight end, wide receiver, running back, quarterback, because I think they're pretty set in all of those rooms with the players on the roster. In fact, I'd be shocked if they add anybody of note to those positions. I mean, talking like further than back end of the roster churn, practice squad level players. But on the defensive side of the ball, there's been holes that we've noted, and I do wonder if the post-June 1st date matters to any of these players. Again, as we said at the top of the show, it doesn't really matter to the Titans formula so much, but it could matter to these players who might be holding out for a better offer from a, you know, potentially better or more competitive or more ready to compete team. The defensive end spot continues to be, I mean, I know they've got a lot of bodies in that room now. They still don't have a premier edge rusher. I don't know if they need one. You know, they have a premier interior rusher. They have a very, very good second interior rusher in John Franklin Myers. The first one, obviously, was Jeffrey Simmons. And they have bodies at the edge spot who are above replacement level, who can give you good snaps. But there are also some defensive ends out there that the Titans might look to bring in if they really felt weird about the position. Some guys with experience with Robert Saleh, some guys who don't have it, some guys with experience with Tennessee. I'm talking about names like Hassan Reddick, Yeter Gross-Matos, who was with San Francisco last year, Danico Autry, Leonard Floyd. I mean, there's some names that are, I would say, bigger names maybe than they are. Let's put it this way. More name than game at this point in their career. But guys with pelts on the wall, you know, who have done it in this league, who at the very least could be a veteran presence and, you know, source of leadership in the locker room. I don't know if the Titans actually want to do anything at these spots. Like we said, they are 8 or 9 deep already, and that's the rotation they're going to roll through in games. So if they signed another front seven player or defensive end or lineman in particular, you're likely pushing somebody that's expecting to be in the rotation right now out of said rotation. At the same time, Justin, injuries happen. Injuries happen this time of year. They happen in training camp, they happen in preseason and in September, and you need an extra body that maybe you didn't think you would need. Is there a world where the Titans want to get ahead of that and look to bring somebody in now? I don't know.
It's interesting because you, I mean, there are some names I'm kind of glad you didn't mention because they're not realistic, but let's probably throw them out there anyway. Like Cameron Jordan is still available. Joey Bosa is still available. Like there are some household names at defensive end on the market. A lot of them, as you'll notice,
did you see
are
what Nick Bosa said about Joey Bosa at OTAs the other day?
No, I didn't.
He said, quote, this is Nick Bosa on his brother, Joey. Quote, he is working on his golf game. I don't think he's too concerned with football right now. Like, I don't know if Joey Bosa's playing football anymore. He might be ready to just hang it up, you know?
I mean, I wouldn't blame him. He's made enough money. He's had some injuries. But he's one of those names. I thought he was going to go to San Francisco, funny enough, to finally play with his brother. They've never done that before. But a lot of names out there at edge. I'm going to throw one more at you that would be interesting. There's been a lot of smoke. And I haven't followed this super closely because it's not the Titans, I'll be honest. But there's been a lot of smoke about the Jags either cutting or trading Arik Armstead. Right? Like he's on a bloated salary there in Jacksonville. We know how much Robert Saleh appreciates him. I mean, he's talked about him this offseason. I feel like the Titans are good at that spot, in all honesty. But if Arik Armstead were to become available, are we sure Robert Saleh could help himself?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, especially because they drafted the supposed next Arik Armstead and Keldrick Fogg, and like who would be better as a veteran presence to teach Keldrick Fogg the ropes and how to make it in the NFL than the guy he's been compared to from a, you know, versatility and body composition and even skill standpoint. So interesting one name that you mentioned there, Justin. I thought of another one.
Can I throw a few more at you? Do you mind?
Go for it.
So names that I haven't signed anywhere that I think we've talked about in the past, like Bobby Okereke is still out there, right? Like,
I was going to throw Bobby Okereke out there.
We've talked about him a bunch with, you know, connections to this coaching staff. And I don't know that they have. I mean, now that they've drafted Anthony Hill, I think when we were initially talking about him, Okereke, the need at linebacker was bigger than it was right now that Anthony Hill's come in. So I don't know. But Kenny Moore, you know, another guy, connection with Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator. Like, there are a lot of names at, especially defensive end, but we throw out those at linebacker and nickel corner. At edge specifically, going back to the beginning, the first point you made, I agree. Like, I don't expect them to do anything, I don't think. If Arik Armstead were to become available, I think that's an interesting one to watch. But I think of Cameron Jordan and Hassan Reddick and, you know, all these other guys that you mentioned. And I'm not saying that I think the Titans are good enough at edge specifically. I just don't think that they'll think any of those guys will really move the needle. And if they do something, let's not pretend that they can't be better at that spot. They can be better. Like, would I take Cameron Jordan over Jalen Harrell? Probably. You know, I'm curious to see how Jalen Harrell keeps, you know, developing. He finished strong last year. But I use his name specifically, Jalen Harrell, because I think he's the last on the 53-man roster at edge, right? Like, Jermaine Johnson, Femi Oladejo, Jacob Martin, Keldrick Falk. Like, we know these guys are making it at edge. If we throw Jalen Harrell in there, it's kind of like the last one out kind of exercise, right? Well, you bring in an edge, who is he replacing? I would assume it's replacing Jalen Harrell. And a bunch of those names probably give you more in 2026 than Jalen Harrell does, right? So I think that's the point of acknowledging this exercise. Ultimately, I don't think they do anything, but if Arik Armstead, if Jacksonville cuts him, I wonder.
You know, another name that's still out there on the at the edge position, it's an interesting one to me, is Jihad Ward. Yeah. Hasn't been picked up by a new team. Had a pretty good productive year for the Titans last season. The Titans signed him on July 24th, 2025, if you remember. Lorenzo Carter retired, and so they went and signed Jihad Ward, and he actually gave them, I mean, he was arguably their best edge rusher the last season, gave them good snaps. And so the fact that he's still out on the market is an interesting name to watch. I don't know. I don't think the Titans are going to do anything here unless somebody in the top like five of the rotation suffers like a season-ending injury in training camp. Knock on wood that that doesn't happen.
Who's going to retire? But, someone's going to retire.
Oh, true. Somebody has to retire. That's a good point. Justin, the other position I thought about on the defensive side of the ball is cornerback. And now I know they signed three corners already this offseason and two of them to massive contracts. But the depth is still a position that we wonder about. I know you have an article up on Titan Size about Micah Robinson and his potential growth as a year two player after seeing him in pretty tight coverage, but yet get dominated by Carnell Tate in last Friday's practice. You got Marcus Harris, young player in the slot that we're excited about, but who's the backup nickel corner? Who's the backup boundary corners after Josh Williams? Is it Micah Robinson? And I mean, he's a second year former seventh round pick who was cut by the team who drafted him and picked up by the Titans. Like, we got to be realistic about his chances of developing into a really good player in the NFL, even a backup. So like, do they want to shore up any of these positions where they do have a lot of young, unproven guys? Do they want to give any of these young unproven guys a chance to prove themselves while they're in this rebuilding phase of the roster? Because this, you know, teams' seasons get derailed by injuries for teams. I mean, we've seen it from great teams to terrible teams. Like, seasons can really just go off the rails if injuries start piling up and you're relying on all these unproven backups to come in and play. I don't think the Titans are at a point where they're like, man, we can't afford to have to be relying on unproven backups because this is our year. We can go actually win it this year. It's like they're trying to take a big step forward in terms of growth and competitiveness and become one of those teams, I think, the following season. So to me, it's like you just kind of let these young guys sink or swim and see what you got for next year. But if the coaching staff feels differently, if they feel more urgency, there are some corners who at this stage of their career probably don't qualify as every down starters. I mean, Marshon Lattimore got absolutely roasted on a snap to snap basis for the Commanders after they traded picks for him. Trayvon Diggs has dealt with injuries and stuff, but he's out there. Lajarius Sneed is still out there. Obviously, the Titans, no interest there. But you mentioned Kenny Moore, who is like a really proven solid nickel corner. I mean, was maybe the best nickel corner in the league for a few years. And I think just starting to get up there in age, but like still played well last year. And I would take Kenny Moore on this roster in an instant, even if that meant Marcus Harris doesn't play as much, just because I think he's a really proven player at a spot where the Titans don't have a proven player. And I'm hopeful that Marcus Harris can be something, but you know,
I think they're so excited about Marcus Harris that they wouldn't bring in a Kenny Moore to stunt his growth. Unless Kenny Moore is willing to be like a versatile backup, can play a little number three safety, you know, like just do a couple of different things for you, get on the field if there's injuries. But I imagine Kenny Moore is looking for a bigger role than that. But I don't think they would want to bring him in and say, you're our nickel starter and we're going to demote Marcus Harris. They're so excited. And remember, this is a young roster. They need to give young guys opportunities to grow and become part of a future core, right? Like, they're not in win now mode. But I get what you're saying. Kenny right. Moore, of course, a proven player. But I think Marcus Harris's presence is a big reason why they won't bring in a guy like Kenny Moore. I'm going to talk about the other depth at corner that you touched on real quick. How bad was this room? They signed three corners in free agency. They signed three more in undrafted free agency. And we're still talking about, well, what are they going to do at corner, right? Because you're right. Like, from the depth perspective, I assume Josh Williams is first guy off the bench on the outside. I imagine Micah Robinson by default is maybe competing with Williams for that spot. And I've also said I think he's got some nickel versatility. So he might also be the first guy off the bench behind Marcus Harris right now, you know, as the depth chart is currently constructed. And then you look at those three UDFA corners and what do they give them and what do they show? Jalen McMurray, the one from Tennessee, is a nickel only player, you know, due to size. And that's where he played for the Vols. So does he prove he could be a backup to Marcus Harris and make this roster? The other two corners they signed, Latrell McCutcheon and Jaden Lucas out of Clemson, they're both like bigger, longer, physical outside guys. So do they earn a role, you know, behind Josh Williams? Maybe even, you know, Micah Robinson's not a short anything. Do they beat Micah Robinson to a role? So they've got a lot of bodies there, but they have no, you know, proof of concept, no experience, no, you know, no one who's really played at a high level in the NFL. A bunch of them are UDFAs or second year guys like Micah Robinson. Even Josh Williams played 75 defensive snaps for the Chiefs last year. I looked it up. And he had more playing time in previous years when Mike Borgonzi was there, but he didn't really play last year in Kansas City. So a lot of question marks at corner behind the starters. I think we're going to take one more break.
I got one more point to make before we do, Justin. I just want to hammer this point home for anyone who's like, okay, we're talking about the backup to the backup being a concern at the cornerback spot. I just want to remind everybody where the Titans started the 2025 season. They had L'Jarius Sneed, Jarvis Brownlee Jr., and Roger McCreary as their starting corners, okay? By the end of the year, they were starting Daryl Baker, Jalen Armour Davis, who they signed off the street, and sixth-round rookie Marcus Harris. Now, we're all excited about the future of Marcus Harris.
Kyer Elam? I won't let you disrespect Titans legend Kyer Elam.
Kyer Elam played major snaps down the stretch for this defense. Like, this is the life in the NFL, okay? You got guys that you go into the season thinking you're good at a position, and by midseason, two of them are traded and one of them's hurt. I mean, that's not probably the path forward for this team anymore, but there's no rule that says you can't have three guys get hurt at the same position. I mean, how many times have the tackles been through it? How many times have the Titans been through it at tackle? I said the tackles been through it, but how many times have the Titans been through it at tackle where they're like, oh, we got a good quality starter, we got a good quality backup, and they're on their third one by week eight. Like, it happens at every position, and championship caliber teams, which, you know, the Titans aren't yet, but they want to be, championship caliber teams have depth guys that at least are, you know, serviceable. They can get you through. They feel good about it. They can survive those injuries. And sometimes championship caliber teams are derailed from their championship quests because of these injuries. The Lions, I think of, like, the last couple of years, the Lions have been dealing with crazy injuries. The Niners, the Chargers, like, that's the life. That's life in the NFL, and you got to be prepared for those situations. So depth matters. The Titans don't have a lot of depth, which is why we're talking about it. But yes, let's take that last break. Come back and talk about, do we actually think the Titans are going to do anything? Stay right there. All right, welcome back. Let's wrap this up, Justin, post-June 1st episode. By the way, forgot to say this. This is episode number 600 of the Music City Audible. 600.
I should have reminded you, we should have said it at the beginning. Number 600, that's crazy.
I mean, shout out to the Audible Army, who are, you know, the number one supporters of this channel, the everyday listeners. If you tune in every single day, you don't know how much we appreciate you, but we do see you in the comments. We know who you are. Like, we're building a community here where we know you as well as you know us down there in the comments. So shout out to the Audible Army for sticking along. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel, and comment below. Get in there. Join the conversation. Join the Audible Army and watch and return to Music City Audible every single day. Episode 600. We roll on, Justin. 600. Here's the 600 more, right? You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
What'll be? That'd be like 5 years or two more years, I guess, since we're doing like everyday pods now. But regardless, June 1st, does it matter? Does this matter for the Titans? Do we expect something to happen, Justin? Do you expect them to trade for somebody? Do you expect them to ship off somebody? I mean, one thing that we haven't covered yet is what players on the Titans roster does this apply to in terms of, like, if they decided to trade somebody, if they decided to trade Tony Pollard to the Packers because Josh Jacobs is under, you know, five domestic charges or whatever, under investigation. Well, Tony Pollard actually is one of the few players where it doesn't matter because this is the last year of his contract. So pre-June 1st, post-June 1st, the numbers are the same for him. But there are other guys. I mean, I wouldn't expect them to do anything like this, but trading Dan Moore saves them $19 million against the cap. Not that they need to, but they could. Calvin Ridley, trading him would save them. Calvin Ridley trade pre-June 1st, $15 million in dead cap. Calvin Ridley trade post-June 1st, $7.5 million in dead cap and $7.7 million in savings. So, like, I don't know if this happens now. Probably not. But, like, week four, if the Titans feel great about Carnell Tate and Wandale Robinson and Elik Iyemanner and Shimmer Adike, and somebody comes calling about Calvin Ridley, at this point, because of the contract restructure that happened earlier, like, even though that happened, we're post-June 1st now, you save money by trading him. Again, I don't expect these guys to get moved. I'm just mentioning that it is possible. Yeah. Cody Barton saves them $6 million if they traded him post-June 1st. J.C. Latham, who's still a Rand Carthon guy. You never know with the Rand Carthon guys and Mike Borgonzi. Could save $3.1 million moving him. Of course, that opens a massive hole on the offensive line, but you get the point. There are guys on this roster that could be moved for cap savings. I don't think they will be, but we'd be doing a disservice to the audience if we didn't at least mention it on the post-June 1st pod.
I think that just helps educate you guys on the importance of June 1st in the NFL and why we do see so much, you know, the kickstarting of veteran trades and acquisitions and activity in general after this date, which is literally today, June 1st. So closing out with, do we expect the Titans to actually do something? I think swing tackle is a good shout on your part. I know we've talked about the pads coming on, but like any level of confidence in Austin Deculus would be misfound. That would be downright stupid based on what he's done in the NFL, in all honesty, right? Like Brendan Crenshaw Dixon, maybe. Mike Borgonzi obviously liked him a lot. Maybe he's the actual swing tackle on the right side, but the situation is pretty dire there based on experience and what we know about the guys who have actually played, right? So I know that's, you know, everyone's looking for the big splashy move. I would love one at swing tackle because Dan Moore and J.C. Latham taking every single snap this year, probably not going to happen. Didn't happen last year. Both of them got hurt. And J.C. Latham missed a significant amount of time at one point, right? And Dan Moore, there was a stretch where he was kind of in and out there a little bit, even mid-game, right? A couple times he left. You had Ali Udo to bring in last year, who was all right. They've gotten worse at that spot this year with Austin Deculus. So I'd love to see something at swing tackle. We continue to talk a lot about right guard. I don't think they're going to do anything at right guard. I think that's my prediction at this point. Even though both Kevin Zeitler and Greg Van Rotten would make sense, I think they want to see Jackson Slater in pads and probably want to see Cordell Volson as well. Corner depth is a good shout on your part at both spots, boundary and nickel, but I think it's depth. So it would have to be a name that's willing to play behind Alante Taylor, Cordell Flott, and Marcus Harris. I don't think Kenny Moore, you know, Trayvon Diggs, those are not those type of guys, but I think they could look to bring in some better depth, both at boundary and nickel.
I will say it this way. I do think the Titans will do something at one of the positions we've mentioned on today's pod, but I don't think it will have anything to do with June 1st. I don't think it will happen in the immediate. I think these are potential training camp like timeline moves where either it's right before training camp and they're like, okay, the guys that have been like skipping every off-season activity thing are like, all right, it's time to like pick a team and go somewhere now. Or they get into training camp and they don't like the way a position group is shaping up. They suffer an injury somewhere. They make a move. Like, I think that's what matters to this Titans team. A lot of these post-June 1st signings are going to be ring chasers. You know, veterans taking one last shot to go win a championship. Hopefully, post-June 1st matters to the Titans a lot more going forward when they are the team that ring chasers want to join. But right now, just being realistic and honest, that's not who the Titans are. Like, Trayvon Diggs might want to go try to compete for... I don't know what's up with Trayvon Diggs. I mean, he was, like, the defensive player of the year...
He's been hurt a lot,
like,
too,
3 years ago. He has been... He suffered a pretty debilitating injury, but my read was that he was working back, but then he just had, like, a big dispute with the Cowboys over, like, how the rehab was going and contracts and stuff. Whatever. It's neither here nor there. But the point is, like, the veteran guys, like, if Joey Bosa wasn't focused on golf and not worried about football, the way his brother says, if he was actually, like, in the position he was last year, where he's just looking for a contender to go join as a mercenary, like, the Titans are not that team yet. So maybe they will be next offseason, maybe two offseasons away from that. Maybe they're viewed as, like, the up-and-coming potential contender that just is one veteran piece away, and, you know, veterans with their egos want to be that guy. So maybe another year. But this year, I do think, like, they make a move at swing tackle at some point, or maybe at corner, or maybe at one of these other spots at some point, but not in relation to, like, not because we're post-June 1st now, just because we're, like, closer to the start of the season, you know?
What's also interesting is, you know, they're more than halfway through OTAs. They've had six practices. They've got four left. They're on a bit of a break this week. They won't resume practice until, I think, the 8th. And we've only got one open practice left. But I wonder if they're doing something at the end of OTAs. Like, if they gather together and say, hey, we just had these 10 practices to evaluate everyone who was here on our 90-man roster, who's one or two guys that we don't even think can cut it in this league at all. And maybe they look to churn the back end. So we do expect them to do something at some point. We'll be monitoring it closely. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible podcast.
Let me tell the people what's coming up, Justin. So we've been playing around with some topic ideas. Well, I want to hear from you guys in the comments if you like these ideas, if you want any of them instantly or not instantly. So a few ideas we've been tossing around. Do the Titans have a good enough running back room to support Cam Ward? I mean, we talked for months, at least I did, about the idea of drafting Jeremiah Love. But does that mean Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears and even Nicholas Singleton and even Kalel Mullings and Julius Chestnut, they're part of the room, are getting disrespected? Do you want to hear about that as an episode? Another idea, talking about the Championship Foundation, the Daniel Jeremiah tweet circulating on the timeline. I quote tweeted it. Look, I don't want to take credit for anything ever because I'm mostly a humble person. But like, I do feel like because I quote tweeted Daniel Jeremiah's tweet, counting off the roster pieces that qualify as a championship foundation for a team or whatever, and questioning whether or not the Titans had those pieces. Like, since I did that, since I posted that quote tweet of Daniel Jeremiah's tweet, Easton Freeze has written an article for A to Z Sports. Locked On Titans did a whole episode about championship foundation pieces. It's like, I don't want to say it's my idea, because let's be real, it's Daniel Jeremiah's idea. But I feel like we could do a pod on that. Why not? You know, like, if you want to hear about it, let us know in the comments. And was there something else that we were playing around with, Justin? Another idea, potentially? I don't know. I just want to, like, open this conversation to the Audible Army and see if they had any thoughts, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you did that. We're always very transparent. That's the next couple episodes we have planned in our mind. But this show is called the Music City Audible. So if the Audible Army doesn't love it, say something in the comments and maybe we'll call an audible. Maybe we'll call your play off the play sheet. Maybe I'll be Brian Daboll like Table and make a change at play caller. We'll see what happens. Until tomorrow, when we're back talking Tennessee Titans football, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.